So Christmas came early in our house this year. Back in October, Isaac was sitting at our kitchen table with the Argos catalogue, circling things that he wanted for Christmas. In the following weeks, the house has slowly and steadily been invaded by glitter, paper chains, and most recently a tinsel wreath on our door. The more cynical part of me has felt a little bit overwhelmed by this invasion, thoughts of it's not even December, and that I was hoping for a more sophisticated decor have certainly crossed my mind. However, each time I get home from work to a new, and I quote our two-year-old here, "Reuben made it," I am filled with a little joy, a moment of distraction and relief from the daily grind. More widely, it seems to me that people are more eager than ever for the festivities to begin this year. There have been lights on houses, trees in windows, and carols playing for some weeks now. Skeptically, we might see this as a reflection of an ever-increasing capitalist greed that surrounds Christmas. But I truly believe that this urgent desire to begin the festive season is a genuine response to what has been a most challenging of years, with Brexit, terror, and much unrest nationally and globally. We are ready, longingly anticipating the joy, light, peace, and hope that Christmas brings. In our reading today, we hear our instruction to pave the way for Jesus. We are assured and reassured that his glory will come again, and it's our responsibility to make ready. We are told in Isaiah that we must cry out, "Here is your God." And I'm interested today to reflect on this process of preparation, how we might sprinkle the glitter and hang the tinsel, how we might respond to this eagerness in ourselves and in society for peace and hope. Our need for Christmas to come early is really nothing new. God has responded to our longing many times. Indeed, in Isaiah, he speaks to the Jews following their exile, saying, "Comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem." Here, he is planting a seed of hope to a generation of people who've lived in servitude and great hardship. God is embracing his people and encouraging them in their time of desperation. However, despite this hope, it is clear that it is not he who will prepare the path. The expectation is that the people of Jerusalem must make this path, a path not to direct their feet, but to direct their hearts. It is in their hearts that the desert and the wilderness lies. Clearly, then, we can't use pickaxes and hammers. So what tools has God given us to create this path? As a family, we go every year to Ruxley Manor Garden Centre. Some of you may do the same. And we went yesterday, in fact. We go, as thousands of others, to skate, to look at the lights and decorations, and perhaps to meet Father Christmas. It's a really lovely family day, and we feel so lucky that we can make space for it each year. Similarly, people will be coming to our churches over the Christmas period, perhaps as part of their annual festivities, or perhaps for the first time. When they come, we hope to offer a welcoming place to share in our traditions of carol singing and candles. But at church, and I would say in Ruxley Manor too, there is a sprinkling of something altogether more extraordinary. That being what John promises in our gospel reading, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves and works in our hearts and amongst us all the time. Whilst we may feel abandoned and alone, it is affirmed in Isaiah that the breath of the Lord blows on us. In the bleakness of winter, or in the many challenges of life, when the grass withers and the flowers fall, we can know that the word of God endures forever. His kingdom is on earth as well as in heaven. But how then does the Holy Spirit actually work? And what difference does baptism in the Holy Spirit make? When John calls people to be baptized in the river, He invites people to repent and be forgiven of their sins. But he shares a promise to come of baptism with the Holy Spirit. This baptism with the Holy Spirit is distinguished from baptism with water. It is associated with an incorporation into the family of God and into the Christian church. It's the bestowal of spiritual gifts and our empowerment for Christian ministry. All who believe in Christ are baptized in this way, and through such baptism, God is taking up permanent residence in our hearts. In taking up this residence, the Holy Spirit works through us in our ministry and in our gifts. Richard spoke to us a couple of weeks ago about how these gifts might manifest in this church. And as we open our doors at Christmas to many visitors, the singers, the floor sweepers, the tea brewers, the youth leaders, all are playing a vital role in the work of the Holy Spirit amongst us. For many, this might sound a bit daunting, perhaps overly optimistic, or simply too outward-facing an interpretation of how we must prepare and pave the way. What then of our personal relationship with God and the struggles that we face in our lives and in our faith? I think God understands that we're searching, that we're worried, and that we're only human beings, and our fragility means that we may flounder. He understood this so deeply that he gave us his Son. His Son came alongside us to be one of us and to teach us. Now, you hopefully got given a poem, or I was scurrying around at the beginning making sure everyone had one. And you may be familiar with this, you may have read it, but I think having the words printed, certainly for me, makes it a little bit easier to follow. I'll read it to us now. It's a poem by Philip Larkin called First Sight. And my brother, who's an English teacher and literary enthusiast, shared it with me and said, if you think Larkin is a bit miserable, then read this poem and you can hear his optimism. Lambs that learn to walk in the snow, when their bleating clouds the air, meet a vast unwelcome, know nothing but a sunless glare. Newly, stumbling to and fro, all they find outside the fold is a wretched width of cold. As they wait beside their ewe, her fleece is wetly caked. There lies, hidden around them, waiting too, earth's immeasurable surprise. They could not grasp it if they knew what so soon will wake and grow, utterly unlike the snow. I think this poem encapsulates the moment of Jesus' birth, fragile, vulnerable, and unknowing. Likewise, I think it echoes our own stumbling to and fro. All too often we find ourselves meeting a vast unwelcome, a wretched width of cold. But as Larkin reminds us, we will see Earth's immeasurable surprise. This time of year, festooned as it is with joy and optimism, we are offered an opportunity to indulge in God's glory and the work of the Holy Spirit through us and amongst us. However, as we pave the way for the festive season, we could be forgiven for losing sight of the true and unimaginable promise we are preparing for. So, rather than dismissing the onslaught of glitter, as I've been guilty of at home, I encourage you to notice God's immeasurable surprise in each homemade paper chain, each bauble, each trail of tinsel. I encourage you to remember the promise of what so soon will wake and grow. And as we come together as a church and a community, let us appreciate and share the ways in which our baptism in the Holy Spirit has empowered us and enabled us to pave the way.